Good evening, everyone. My name is Pastor Eric. I'm campus pastor up at our campus up on the north side in Johnston Grimes. But it's such a great honor and privilege to get to come and share a word about Maundy Thursday on this night of Holy Week, this night where we celebrate this week of Passover that came so long ago that was Jesus' last Passover. He rode into town on a donkey. He sent the disciples into town early to get the stuff to prepare a meal. You know, it was Passover, so it would have been like finding a lamb to cook. It would have been finding, as the first communion kids in their class would know, salt water and some bitter herbs. All these components of this meal that would remind Jesus and the disciples and all the Jewish people who celebrated Passover about this process of God's faithfulness that began way back in freeing the Israelites from Egypt, led by Moses across the Red Sea into the Promised Land. This whole process of how that Exodus took place. And they did it for over 1,000 years, every year, celebrating this meal. There's something about meals that commemorate certain things. I remember as my kids were younger, I would always like, you know, for their birthday, I'd tell them, we'll cook anything you want, you know, as long as it's stuff like on my menu. I like to cook, so, you know, would you like some cauliflower and leek soup? Maybe some pulled pork pizza grilled, you know, with the barbecue sauce underneath it and all the fixings on top. No, I didn't like that. Of course, anything with onions was out. Anything with flavor was out. But birthdays, special days, what they always wanted was chicken nuggets and mashed potatoes. I'm like, oh, so boring. But I would give in and I'd say, okay, I'd shove my menu over and I'd say yes to the chicken nuggets and mashed potatoes. And so before the birthday would come, I'd find myself at one of the grocery stores with a list sent ahead to prepare the meal, getting down in the meat section and picking up the boneless chicken breast and then getting the potatoes and then peeling them and all that. I remember standing there at the counter cutting up the chicken breast, peeling the potatoes, getting the stuff ready, dreaming about my own menu. But as the dream would fade, because what was happening was I was preparing a meal over a number of years that was the same. And every year that would go by, I'd hope to get to cook something good, and I'd end up back on the chicken nuggets and mashed potatoes, because it's what the kids wanted. But the prep time became a time of giving up my own thought of a menu and starting to think about my own kids. Things like the first time we sent him, the oldest one to school, not knowing that in the afternoon when that bus comes home, all the kindergartners' faces are like on the window. These great memories about who we were as a young family, and then as we grew older, you know, junior high, really, still chicken nuggets and mashed potatoes and gravy? Still remembering in the school bus on the way home. Remembering first dates and all these things and celebrations, falling off the bike for the first time, having grandparents over and really going back in the generation and talking about who we were as a family. This is what was happening year in and year out with the Passover, being reminded of God's faithfulness to free his people so long ago from Egypt. And as Jesus always did, he was always a teacher. Always modeling, always showing, always challenging and calling the disciples forward, further and further to understand and live out what it means to be a child of God, living in the kingdom of God. In the night in which he was betrayed, we hear that phrase typically right when we open up communion, and we'll do that in a little while. It starts out, in the night in which he was betrayed. This is the night. Maundy Thursday night, this is the night in which Jesus was betrayed by his friends. In the night in which he was betrayed, still modeling, still teaching. He had realized sometime before this, but the Gospels tell us again here, he'd realizing now that all this authority in heaven has been given to him. And what does he do? He does a simple act. still teaching, still training. He's going to start washing feet right in the middle of the meal. You got a family, the Blikes are going to come up and be like acting out three of the disciples. So while they get ready, the Gospels tell us that Jesus took his outer garment off. I'm only taking my most outer garment off. And he wrapped the towel. The Gospel tells us, this is your spot. The Gospels tell us that Jesus wrapped the towel around himself. The disciples would have been like really on edge at this point. Their master and their teacher. We see it in the scripture on the screens. Their Lord and their teacher, their master, taking on this posture, even wrapping a towel around himself in this way. Taking on the posture of a servant, a slave. Not really something that they would consider their master, their Lord, their teacher to be doing. Probably getting a little uncomfortable at this point. But what we know is in this meal of Passover, it would have lasted a while. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. You know, like a Christmas dinner or a Thanksgiving dinner or even an Easter dinner. We start them at some point and they really end up going through all through the afternoon. Well, in this night in which he was betrayed, the meal would have lasted a while. They would have been talking about the being hunted down now at this point. The Gospels tell us that the religious authorities had been making plans to kill Jesus at this point. Earlier in the week, sending the disciples in to find a place that nobody would know where they were, so Jesus could spend these last few hours of his life telling the disciples that he loves them. In the middle of this, he puts on the towel and he starts washing feet. And across this period of an evening, eating this meal like we do at home, I wonder what the conversations were about. The religious elite hunting them down? Maybe. The Roman government looking for him? Probably. Disciples really worried, not really knowing what's going on here right now. And what does Jesus do? He puts a towel on and he washes feet. Still teaching, still training, still modeling what it means to love one another the way I've loved you. So across this evening, I wonder what the conversation sounded like. Maybe something like this. Hi, Thomas. See, you got your kid with you. All right. I'm going to wash some feet here, Thomas. How you been? The meal's good, but, you know, I would have rather had some steak. Not much of a lamb eater. But it does remind us, doesn't it? So we're going to wash some feet. It's what a slave does. Does the things nobody else wants to do. Touches the things that nobody wants to do. And yet Jesus, the Lord and Master, the Savior, still teaching and training. Yeah, let's get some feet washing going. Whew. Doesn't that feel good? Man. Been walking around all day, feet swollen up. Tied up in shoes. Maybe I'll... Wow! Can you see that? Oh, I know what I wanted to tell you. Remember that time we were at that wedding? We first got together. We were at that wedding and like they ran out of wine. He drank most of it. I remember it. And my mom came over and, you know, we're all laughing and stuff. And she comes over and says, hey, Jesus, you know, what are you going to do about it? Come on, do something. Remember what happened? We had them fill up those big basins with water, and it was like, you know, crazy stuff, and like I worked this miracle, and we changed the water into wine and had a great rest of the night, didn't we? Man, it was fun. You remember that time when the storm was up in the sea and all you guys were out on the boat? And I was sleeping. And I woke up, and you guys woke me up, like, what's going on? Well, you know, we're going to die. The boat's going to go down. We're all going to die. And I just said, be still. It's cool stuff. Oh, have I told you that I love you? I love you. I want to make sure you know that. No matter what happens, I love you. So, you know, when I think about you, Thomas, you're one of these really good friends of mine, and I know you struggle with faith. I mean, you've seen and been part of the teams that we sent out to go heal and do teaching and bring the kingdom of God to people that normally people don't want to touch. And I know that you still struggle with it. Hang on. It'll work out. Just have faith. It'll work out. I got a towel for you. Doesn't that feel good? I know it does. What's up, Peter? I don't know either. I'm doing some foot washing. Oh, but before I get going, I wanted to tell you something. I'm really glad to call you my friend. There's lots of crazy stuff going on in these days, and stuff to be totally worried about. Do you remember that time when you guys were out in the boat, and I was up on the shore, and it was kind of dark and foggy out, and I was on the shore, but you guys didn't see me, and I started walking out, and I saw you guys, like, freaking out, like, I think that's a ghost. But it was me, and I was walking out to the boat on the water, and you guys, like, started cheering, but, like, you were half scared and freaked out by it. And then the thing that just absolutely blew my mind was when I called you out to walk on the water with me. You remember that? That was so awesome. Man, I love you. Man, I love you. Oh, do you remember the time when we were like, it was like a really big crowd like this, and they were all like crowding in, and we were all tight like this, and like you guys were trying to push everybody back away from me and like keep the kids away from me because, you know, everybody thought, well, kids, they don't really matter, right? And it's like, whoa, we stopped the boat and we said, whoa, Peter, bring those kids over to me. It's such like to kids that the kingdom of God belongs. You remember that? And the crowd just like, whatever. But we knew what we were doing, right? Okay, one more thing. Do you remember after we'd been like doing a bunch of teaching and healing, and some people liked it, some people didn't, and I think you were starting to figure it out, you know, what it meant to love people. So watching me and trying it on yourself and trying it out. Do you remember when people started like saying, well, who is this guy, Jesus? And then finally, I looked at you, and we were walking somewhere, and I asked you, who do you think that I am? Yeah, and then you said, you're the Messiah, the Savior, you're Jesus, you're God's Son, come to save us all. I'm so proud of you. Does that feel good?
Yeah, but it might freeze your toes.
Freezing toes? Yeah. You got some toe jam, bud. We're working on it. I'll wash that off. It's what I do. It's what I do. There, you're all cleaned up. Let me dry that off for you. Have I told you I love you?
No.
And I love that smile. Oh, yeah, he's saying, oh, that felt good. There goes the towel. There's more work to do. Not done yet. Still working it. What's up, Judas? How you doing?
Good.
What'd you think of the meal?
Good.
Okay. You know, I love washing feet. I was just telling Peter, it's what I do. Some people don't get that about me. You know? They think that maybe I should be, like, seeking out power and, like, ruling stuff by, you know, with, like, real strong authority. They kind of missed the point. You remember that time I was telling Thomas over there, when that storm stirred up, this thing just sticks with me. That storm stirred up, and I was thinking about you. Storms stir up sometimes out in nature, but sometimes they stir up inside us, don't they? Yeah, we don't know how to shut it off. Thinking that the way to the good... Does that feel good? I know it does. Look, their feet stunk. Yours aren't too bad. Sometimes the storms stir up inside. And I know you struggle with it. I tell you I love you. That's mostly what I want to tell you tonight. Oh, you remember that time? We were in a big crowd again. Wow, seems like crowds were all around, doesn't it? In a big crowd, and you know, everybody was pressing in, and like some lady, like you guys were all around me, like you know, like bodyguards. And some lady, like, stretches in, and, you know, most everybody then, nobody wanted, like, the women touching men. That was like a no-no, right? And, like, this woman leans in, and she touches my robe from the back, and, you know, remember I was telling you, I felt like this weird thing, like, power went out from me. And then the whole commotion started, and it settled down, and, like, we figured it out. And what had happened was her faith in reaching out to touch me brought grace and healing to her. All the way deep down, healing. She'd been, like, bleeding, I think, for, like, years, hadn't she?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a story. Crazy stuff. Man, I'm proud of you guys. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. It seems like things are all mixed up and crazy right now, and we've been running from it, running to it, all mixed up. I just want to tell you that no matter what happens, I love you. I think these are some of the types of creativity that were allowed with Scripture. God gives us these minds to think about conversations and what wasn't written down. In a night in which he was betrayed, somebody who'd deny him 3 times. Another one who struggled with faith even after seeing the kingdom of heaven through Jesus, experiencing it, living it, still doubting. I think we find ourselves here in this night in which he was betrayed. Judas, sellout. But you see, this is the beauty of God's love. It's who we are as disciples. Falling short, getting it right sometimes, not getting it right other times. But you see, this is the kingdom of heaven. And love isn't a trade. Love comes from God because it's who he is. Not dependent upon yours or my behavior. He loves us. This love of God is what transforms us beyond the doubt, past the fear, out of rebellion. That's what transforms us. And God, I think just in this night in which he was betrayed, all the chaos happening in this night, across this Passover meal, what is Jesus doing? He's washing feet. To remind one more time, this is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. It's not asking somebody to come with clean feet to Jesus. He's coming to wash the feet. In the meal we'll celebrate here in just a few minutes. Jesus isn't asking you to clean up your own life, to get rid of it yourself. As a matter of fact, he knows we can't. And he loves us anyway. It's this type of love that is just the pure grace of God that fuels us up. It's sweeter than honey. It draws us to God. It's irresistible. because we have no other way to live. Just want to thank the Blyke family for coming up. Grab your socks and shoes. You guys can head back. Let's give them a hand. One neat thing we see up here, kind of unplanned, but very good reminder. Mrs. Blyke, up here with one of her other kids who wasn't in the script. But that's the imagination we have to remember. These disciples probably had families and had struggles and didn't know how to run schedules and make it all work. Didn't know how to get out of it. They probably brought their kids with them. How does that all that work? Do we have to get it right before God loves us? In the night in which he was betrayed, it should be real clear that we love because God first loved us. It's God's love that fuels us up, that transforms us into people who can carry out the mandate of Thursday, that you would love one another the way I've loved you. It's not a request. It's not an ask. It's a new command that Jesus gives. Sums up his life and what he's doing here to give us this type of freedom that we might walk in it, to love one another the way I've loved you. Not looking at it as a sacrifice, but as a privilege to get to serve in the way that Jesus served us. As we get ready now for the communion meal, there's always these questions that come up around communion, kind of these functional questions. You know, things we want to ask sometimes, but we're not sure who to ask, or maybe if somebody might kind of smile at us if we asked a question like that. So I'm going to ask Mark Brandt to come up. He's been teaching around here for years. He opened us up with the announcements and the welcome in this service. Mark's he was the teacher for the kids' class that took First Communion here just a couple weeks ago. And I've got some questions. We're going to fire at Mark because they tell me he's really smart.
I'm just really honored because usually when there are questions, we bring up Pastor Richard. So he's right back there, actually.
Hi, Pastor Richard.
These must mean that they're easier questions.
He must be going to grade you or something.
Exactly, so, yeah.
There's
taking
no pressure.
Notes. That
so,
Brandt kid.
Pastor Richard's watching, and we're going to put 2 minutes on the clock.
2 minutes on the clock. Here
right.
We go with great questions. I love questions, by the way.
Okay.
We learn by questioning.
So here's the question.
Okay.
Here we go. It's kind of an FAQ. The frequently asked questions, at least the ones we could think of.
Sure.
So here's the first one. It's a big question.
Okay.
What's the difference between Passover and communion?
Well, they're actually kind of connected in a really cool way through the story, where with Moses bringing the people of God out of Egypt from slavery into freedom, Jesus, in celebrating that meal, is making that bridge and uses that as a way to show them, hey, this lamb, this Paschal lamb, this Passover lamb, I'm it. And so now I'm going to set you free once and for all from slavery to sin to freedom and new life in me. And so he's a great object teacher when it comes to that and showing us through the history, a story they knew really well, and now connecting it to his life.
Have you been talking to Pastor Richard?
I tell you, I ask him, and he helps me out all the time.
All right, now here's another one. Can I use my time up in real long
Please.
Questions?
Yeah, okay. There's only a minute left, though.
All right, so why do we have that funny little piece of bread? I mean, is that even bread? Really?
Well, it's a wafer, but it's also special because when the people of God were leaving Egypt, God commanded them to make bread without yeast because they wouldn't have time to let it rise. So it's unleavened bread because they were leaving and they had to leave in a hurry. And so they celebrated every year with that same unleavened bread to remind them that they had to leave quickly from Egypt so that they could get out of town.
It's good to have stuff like that to remind
yeah,
us.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so here's this is like the most sought-out question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what happens, you know, because we practice intinction where the communion server will give you the wafer,
yeah,
and then you like have a choice to dip it in the dark-colored
yep.
wine or the light-colored grape juice.
Yep.
But sometimes like you grab it too thinly in the grab, and it's like, whoa, and it like slips in there. So here's the question.
It happens.
What happens if there's a floater
oh, yeah.
in the wine or grape juice? Didn't you want to? You ever seen it?
Well,
what happens?
Here's the best
what
thing
should
I
we
can
do.
Well, here's the best thing I can tell you is we are not perfect. You don't have to be perfect either. We just have to come to God and allow Him to offer us the same grace. So have grace and, you know, just It's all so good. You can always get another from the servers.
So it's this table of grace.
Absolutely.
And we should be graceful
Absolutely.
At it.
Okay. I need it. You need it. We all need it.
Okay, so one more big question.
Sure.
Is Jesus really present in this meal?
Well, he says that. And so we take him at his word. He says, this is my body and this is my blood, which is given for you. And so we take that at his word to say, yes, he is present in the bread and the wine. And that's one of the great mysteries about God, is how he can show up. Also through the waters of baptism, he shows up in this powerful moment of communion. And that's what we're remembering when we celebrate this with him, is what he sacrificed for us.
That's awesome, isn't it? Let's give Mark a hand for coming
up.
Thanks, Mark.
Did
you have anything else?
We had a video we wanted to show that would help sum it up even more.
Okay,
We'll take a look at that.
Let's take a look. The command to love one another the way that I've loved you, that Jesus tells all of us, that he gives us all, it's a gift. It's a blueprint for living. What it means to walk in that he's restored us into freedom, this gift of freedom, just to be the people that God's created us to be. It's in this new covenant that Jesus makes in this meal, in the night in which he's betrayed. He seals it up. He makes it whole. No longer really dependent upon behavior, morals, and standards anymore, but dependent that he comes to us, that he offers his life. When the kids were reading Mark chapter 14 earlier, when we got to the words of institution, one of the kids named Joe, the way we phrase it stood out to me. Maybe you heard it. Usually we say, take and eat. This is my body given for you. But Joe phrased it this way. Take it, all of you, and eat it. This command to commune with God, to remain in him that he might remain in us. It's communion. It's a gift of love. One more time, let God tell you that he loves you tonight.